Good morning, church, and welcome to our first service today. I don't know about the rest of you, but those last two songs messed me up. I almost need a break. My heart's tender from being on the mission trip this week, and just there's one verse in that that says, I want to see my children run into your arms. We're going to find out nothing will ever be that important again. This is it. I've never been more proud of our church and our people than this past week. We had about 60 people head out to Eastern Kentucky, and it was hard work, it was hot, and to watch how they loved on each other, loved on the people that we served in those elderly housing situations. Just powerful to see the church at work. So let me begin today with a question. Do you ever wonder why Jesus refers to us as sheep? It's a good question. Why sheep? It's not the only animal in Bible days. Sheep. Why didn't he refer to us as camels? There's camels in that day. So why didn't he why sheep? And that brings up a funny story. I could use a little humor this morning. So in 2023, we made a trip to Israel. Several of you went with me to Israel, and we toured the country. And it was near the end of the trip. We're on the Mount of Olives. And if you know anything about the Mount of Olives, it's a holy place. It's where Jesus ascended to the Father, and it's where the Bible says Jesus is going to come back to the earth on the Mount of Olives. So our group leader, Tim Moore, has got us all assembled. There's about 45 of us, and he's got us all assembled on the Mount of Olives and this spiritual moment in this spiritual place. I mean, it's, whoa. You're looking down over the old city of Jerusalem and imagining Jesus rose from here. Jesus is coming back from here. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Tim Moore's discussion, over the horizon comes this. Look at this picture. This is Steve. I think Donna had nothing to do with it. Steve Wecker comes over. He's in our group. He has hopped on a camel, and he comes over, and he goes, yeah! A camel's never been the same. So why not camels? Why sheep? So I want to give you some fun facts about sheep because it matters. Of all the things he could have compared us to, he compares us to sheep. Here we go, some facts. There are over 1 billion sheep in the world, and they are known as rams, ewes, and lambs. Sheep perform vocalizations to communicate with each other. Do you know that? They have their own unique voice, so they also grunt, snort, and rumble, same as people, depending upon their moods. Female sheep develop a special communication and vocalization with their lambs, and a baby sheep's bleat is instantly recognized by its mother. Sheep are social animals, and they have a complex community and hierarchy, including families, friends, enemies, followers, and leaders. Sheep can self-medicate and seek out herbs and natural botanicals that will help them heal from various maladies. Now, here's the bad news. Sheep are prey animals. And according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, a total of 226,910 sheep, I don't know who counted these, and lambs were killed by predators in 2019. Over 50% of the predators of sheep are, guess what? Coyotes. Sheep don't have an innate homing instinct like some animals, such as pigeons or salmon, But they can find their way back to familiar places under certain conditions. That said, sheep aren't, listen, they are not master navigators. If they're moved too far from their known environment or lack clear cues, they are unlikely to find their way home without help. Farmers often use shepherds or dogs to guide them because their instinct to flock together can override any solo navigation attempt. Now, here's my conclusion to these sheep facts today. Sheep need a shepherd. If you ever wonder why Jesus called us sheep, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd for protection because they tend to wander off and get lost. And if they wander off and get lost, sometimes they get eaten. And without any real means of getting back home to safety on their own. The word sheep is used 233 times in the New Living Translation version of the Bible. Sheep is found 191 times in the Old Testament, 42 times in the New Testament, and by comparison, the word cow, another common animal in that day, is only used 15 times. The word donkey is used 88 times, and camels, they're in there 31 times. The word chicken is not in there at all. Nor is orangutan, in case you were wondering. The word shepherd is used in the Bible 69 times. Shepherd is found 51 times in the Old Testament, 18 times in the New Testament. Sheep need shepherds. That's what today's message is about. We are all sheep, and we all need a shepherd to keep us from wandering off and getting eaten by the predator, the wolf, named Satan. So today, I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm going to show you who you really are before God. We are sheep. What's the video? That's you. And that's me. And no matter how many times you pull him out, that's us. Sheep need a shepherd. When Jesus refers to us, he refers to us as sheep. So the story begins in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel today. The New Living Translation chapter title for chapter 34 is this, The Shepherds of Israel. It's verse 1. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, you wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So, my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd. And they are easy prey for the wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Do you think this is about sheep with wool or the sheep of Israel, people. Listen to these six charges of God against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. If you want to understand how God thinks, listen to this. You fed yourselves instead of the flock. You drank their milk, wore their wool, butchered the best of the flock for feeding yourselves while the flock is left hungry and starving. Number three, you refused to take care of the weak and sickly ones among the flock. Number four, you refused to go looking for the sheep that have wandered off. Instead, you ruled over the sheep without love and without mercy. Number five, now the sheep are scattered. They don't have a shepherd. And they are easy prey for wild animals. Number six, the last one. Even now, no one is out searching for them. God is angry. I guess you can read that, right? God is angry with these shepherds. And let's make this really clear. God is angry in this scene against the shepherds who did not care for the sheep. Do you remember what I told you about sheep in the beginning? Sheep are not master navigators. If they're moved too far from their known environment or lack clear clues, they're unlikely to find their way home without help, without a shepherd. God is angry with the shepherds of Israel, and it continues. He's not finished with this rebuke. And let me insert something for us right now. And some of you wonder why we take attendance and why we count sheep here at this church. Because I can read. He's angry because they, the shepherds, did not take care of the flock under their care. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Where's this going? If you look at Ezekiel 34, do you wonder, are you a little curious, where's he going with this? Do you know? What does this ancient Ezekiel text about sheep and shepherds have to do with us today? Do you know? Could you guess? This next part brings tears to my eyes and joy to my soul at the same time. Verse 9. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies. There's the tears. I now consider you my enemy. And I will hold them, you shepherds, responsible for what has happened to my flock. And I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. And here comes the joyful part. And I, this is God speaking, I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. God is announcing his divine plan to intervene, to come and rescue the sheep that the shepherds have neglected and lost. God is announcing in Ezekiel 34, the good shepherd is coming. He's coming. Can you see it now? Do you know where this is going today? This Ezekiel scripture is some 600 years before Christ. Where is it going? Are you ready for some Bible prophecy from the book of Ezekiel? 600 years before Christ. Here's the next verse, verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself. Don't miss this. I'm coming. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a dark and cloudy day. And I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel. This is 600 years before Christ. From among the peoples and nations. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in the places where people live. Just a few years later, after this scripture, the kingdom of Judah would fall to Babylon, and those who didn't die in the battle were carried off as slaves to Babylon. They became sheep without a shepherd. The sheep are lost. They're in a foreign land and no way to get back home. The sheep without a shepherd has been devoured by a vicious wolf. And in this scene, his name was King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. But God told Ezekiel beforehand that he would come and find these scattered and lost sheep. God told Ezekiel beforehand, when it happens, I myself will come and gather the sheep. Let's back up three verses for context and let me broaden the view. Go back to verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. And I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. And I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. And I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. And there they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in a lush pasture of the hills. And I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, I will feed them justice. He's angry. He's angry. Ezekiel is prophesying about a future of the Messiah. Ezekiel, 600 years before Christ, is prophesying the future coming of Messiah. The shepherd of the sheep is coming. Yes, Jesus came some 600 years after this prophecy of Ezekiel. And do you know what happened? The sheep rejected the good shepherd of the sheep. They rejected him. Not all. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Paul, they're Jewish. But as a people group, they rejected the shepherd. Before Jesus came, God raised up Nehemiah and gathered the sheep from their exile and brought them back to Israel. And some 400 years later, after Nehemiah, Jesus, the good shepherd, came. And the sheep of Israel rejected him. This is important. In John 1, verse 1, just one sentence, it says this. He came to his own people. He came, Jesus is Jewish. And he came to the Jewish people. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. The sheep rejected the shepherd. They rejected him. Nehemiah and the other sheep of Israel returned to the land and they rebuilt the Jerusalem temple, only to have that temple torn down for good some 40 years after Jesus' resurrection. And today, let me ask you a question. Is this Ezekiel prophecy, chapter 34, over? Is this over? Has it all been fulfilled, completed? No. No. What is God going to do with these sheep? Verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. So I will rescue my flock, and they will no longer be abused, and I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, and I will set over them, ready? This is when it gets deep. And I will set over them one shepherd. One. My servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. Ezekiel lived some 400 years after King David. Stay with me. You're never going to understand this scripture, this prophecy, until you can understand the timeline. Ezekiel's about 400 years after King David, and now Ezekiel prophesies that King David will be a prince among the sheep of Israel. What does it mean? Do you know? It's the word of God. Do you know what it means? He's 400 years after David's come and gone, and he's announcing in the future, David will be a prince over Israel. Here's what he says, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. What does it mean? Do you know? Yes, David was a shepherd king. But do you think David will be Israel's savior? Do you think David will be Israel's king in the future? By the way, let me make this clear. I do believe King David will be in a resurrected body, in a resurrected role in the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, but he will serve under the true shepherd, under the true king named Jesus. Now, some of you might say again to me, okay, this is a great story about the lost sheep of Israel and their coming Jewish shepherd king. But what about the church? But what about us today? This is why we call it good news for the lost sheep called the church. They're referred to as the Gentile nations, the church. And in John 10, listen carefully. These are the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. He is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. I am the fulfillment of that prophecy. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I, Jesus, sacrifice my life for the sheep. That's the cross. He's going to lay down his life on the cross for the sheep. Here it comes. Verse 16. I have other sheep too. Now I got to tell you, the first part of that is about Jesus is the good shepherd to Israel, to the Jewish people. He came first to Israel. He came first to the Jewish people. And then there's something else. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must bring them also. Who are they? You. That sheep that came out of the ditch and jumped back into the ditch. You. I must bring them also because they don't know how to get home either. Here we go. This is important. They will listen to my voice. Who's getting out of the ditch? They will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. Israel and the Gentiles, the Jews and the church. There will one day be one flock under one shepherd. Are you listening today? Jews and Gentiles will be gathered into one flock. How? How? They will listen to my word. They will listen to my word. And what's the church struggling with today? Listening to the word. And that's the only thing that's going to save us, is that we believe the word, because the word is the person of Christ. I mean no personal insult today to anybody, but you must realize that sheep are unable to find their way home to safety on their own. I think that's why Jesus refers to us as sheep. There's no way. If you're lost, you'll never find your way, because sheep are just not that smart. They must have a shepherd guide to guide them to safety, or they will become prey to the vicious wolf named Satan. Let me repeat verse 16. I have other sheep too. They are not from the sheepfold. It's the Gentiles. It's the non-Jewish nations of the world. I have other sheep. They're not from the sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice. There'll be one flock with one shepherd. Can you hear the good shepherd calling you? Do you right now, sheep, do you recognize his voice? I've often used this analogy, so I'll do it again. If right now, today, this moment, some very bright, blinding light were to appear behind me, and like fire flowing out of the light, and from that fiery light, a deep voice were to say, I am God, and I'm speaking to you. Yeah, everybody here would fall on your face, as you should. But do you understand that this is the word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when you open Ezekiel 34 and you read it, you're having an encounter with God. And my sheep will listen to my voice, and they will hear me, and they will understand. This is Jesus talking. This is the shepherd talking to the sheep. But not if... not if you're not listening. Does everyone know and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? No. Does everyone know and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? No. There's a deceiver out there that wants to draw you away from the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, and he is the only chance that sheep have to survive. Let's go to John 10, verse 24. The people surrounded Jesus and they asked him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus replied, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen. Are you listening today? Anybody got ears to hear today? My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Are you ready? And they will never perish. Never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. And no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Now, I'm going to hold up the Bible and ask the question today. Do you believe this? All of it? My sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on the earth. My sheep listen to my voice. Do you place yourself under its authority and power today? Let's do this. Do you put yourself, do you assume this position? I put myself willingly under the authority, an independent authority of the Word of God. Not my authority, not your authority, not another man's authority, not governmental authority, but I put myself under this independent, singular authority. I live under its authority because I believe it's God. Is that you? Do you believe Jesus is the Word? I know it's hard. I admit it's hard. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke into existence the universe. The Word created the universe. The Word became flesh. Do you believe this is the Word that created the universe? That this is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword? And when you encounter it, you encounter God. And if you're a sheep that listens to his voice, you submit to this as the authority of your life. I want to repeat verse 26 and 27. But you don't believe me. I know it's a book, and I know it's called Holy Bible, but you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. Do you get it? You know what the difference between the sheep of Jesus and the not sheep of Jesus? The ones who believe in the Word are the sheep of Jesus. The ones who refuse to believe in the Word are not my sheep. 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. With all that background, I need to go back to Ezekiel again. And before I read it to you, let me explain something. What I'm about to read to you is the future. And some of you still struggle with this. I'm going to read to you the future. The future for the sheep that are following the Good Shepherd. This is real. And this is God's covenant promise for all who believe and follow the shepherd named Jesus. This is a description of the future time on earth with Jesus when he will reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years with Jews and Gentiles gathered into one flock. And Satan, I need to tell you where he's going to be during that 1,000 years. He's in prison. You're going to hear the future. So let's go back to Ezekiel 34 to see what's coming. I will make a covenant of peace with my people. This is future. I will make a covenant of peace with my people and drive away the dangerous animals from the land. And then they will be able to camp safely in the wildest places and sleep in the woods without fear. And I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessings. The orchards and fields of my people will yield bumper crops, and everyone will live in safety. When I have broken their chains of slavery and rescued them from those who have enslaved them, then they will know I am the Lord. They will no longer be prey of other nations. And wild animals will no longer devour them. They will live in safety and no one will frighten them. And I will make their land famous for its crops, and so my people will never again suffer from famines or the insults of foreign nations. In this way, they will know I am the Lord, their God, am with them. And they will know that they, the people of Israel, are my people, says the sovereign Lord. You are my flock. You are the sheep of my pasture, and you are my people, and I am your God. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Who can stop this? Who's going to stop this? Nobody can stop this. So here's my closing today. I've not mentioned goats one time. Not one time. Sheep and goats look a lot alike when they're young. My son Chad, they had some goats on their property, and they had babies not too long ago. And we were all there with the grandchildren watching the baby goats being born. And I was amazed by this truth that when those goats are born, they look like sheep. I can't hardly tell the difference. Sheep and goats look a lot like when they're young. And Jesus warns us one day that he, the good shepherd, is going to do something. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. And he gives us a warning so that everybody knows up front, this is coming. You're not going to be caught by surprise unless you don't listen to the shepherd. Matthew 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels come with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. Let me insert something. I want you to understand the chronology here. I believe this glorious throne is on this present earth in Jerusalem. It's not in heaven. Not yet. That's coming in a different scene, a new heaven and a new earth. He will sit upon his glorious throne, then all the nations. Okay, here comes the Gentile world. And all the nations will be gathered in his presence. And he, Jesus, the king, will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Let me make this part very clear. The sheep are going with Jesus into the millennial kingdom of Christ. The goats are not. Anybody listening? The sheep are going with Jesus into the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth while Satan's in prison. And if you believed any part of this message today, you would run as fast as you could to the good shepherd and find safety in his presence. If you believed any of this, you would run to him so fast. You'd grab a hold of him so tight. As I read this next scripture today, I want you to notice that Jesus is weeping. You know, there's only three places in the Bible where it records that Jesus is weeping. This is one of them. Why is he weeping? Why is the shepherd weeping over the sheep? Can you remember all that Ezekiel scolding to the shepherds that weren't caring for the sheep? Now, as Jesus enters Jerusalem to prepare for the cross, he's crying. He's weeping for the sheep of Israel. Luke 19:41. Why? Why is he crying? Jesus doesn't want the sheep to die. Jesus doesn't want the sheep to perish. He scolded the shepherds in Ezekiel 34 because they were letting the sheep die. And he doesn't want the sheep to die. So he comes himself to save the sheep because he doesn't want the sheep to die. Verse 41. As they came closer to Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city of Jerusalem ahead of him, he began to weep. How I wish today, Jesus said, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Let that sink in. He's crying. I wish you knew the way to have peace. But now it's too late. Anybody listening? It's too late. You have crossed the point of no return. It's too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes. And before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children will be crushed alongside of you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place. Why?
Why?
Why is this happening? You could have had peace. Because why? Because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. The shepherd is standing in front of you. And you won't listen to him. My sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and I will put them in my hand, and no power, Satan, will never be able to take you out of my hand. Today's story began with Israel being the lost sheep without any shepherd. And God told Ezekiel that he himself, the Messiah, would come and shepherd Israel and save Israel. Jesus came and the Jewish people rejected him and crucified him. And in something that's over my ability to comprehend, because the Jews rejected Jesus, God opened a door to the Gentiles for me and you. Because they rejected him, he opens the door for us. And since then, Jesus has returned to heaven in his resurrected body. And the good shepherd, Jesus, now sits at the right hand of the Father with all power, dominion, and authority belonging to him and to him alone. And that's been 2,000 years now. And I hear these words of Jesus again today, verse 16 again. I have other sheep. Hallelujah! I have other sheep that are not in this sheepfold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will be one flock with one shepherd. It's interesting to me. I find this incredibly interesting. It looks like God gave the sheep of Israel 2,000 years to know him. If you look at the chronology in the Bible, from Abraham to Jesus is about 2,000 years. And he gave them, Israel, 2,000 years to know him. It is also looks like, right as of now, nobody knows exactly, as of now, he has also given the church 2,000 years to know him. An equal portion. The Jews got 2,000 years. The church has had 2,000 years. I acknowledge this spiritual truth. 2,000 years. Many generations of sheep have come and gone. And the ultimate question is, did they find the shepherd? And did the shepherd find them? I acknowledge this truth. I was a lost sheep, and Jesus found me. He found me wandering in the wilderness, in the depths of my depravity, in the depths of my sin. He showed himself to me. He showed himself to you. And he did it through the Word. And he did it through the Holy Spirit. And my eyes opened, the veil was removed, and me, a lost sheep, saw the Good Shepherd. And I ran to him. And I'm still running to him. I acknowledge freely, without Jesus, I'm that sheep that they drag out of the ditch just to jump in another ditch. That's me. I realize now that I would never have been able to survive apart from his leading and his protection. I needed a shepherd, and without a shepherd, this sheep would surely have been destroyed. This next verse is me. It's me. Once you were like sheep who wandered away. It's me. But now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of my soul. I have turned to him. My soul now belongs to the good shepherd. Doesn't belong to me anymore. I gave it up. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to separate the sheep, his sheep from the goats. The goats have belonged to the world. The sheep belong to Jesus. And he's going to draw a line. And whether you know it or not, that line is being drawn. It has been drawn since the cross itself. You're on one side or the other. Everybody's on one side or the other. Jesus is the dividing line of all humanity. Sheep and goats. Do you know what the sheep get in the final scene? I believe this scene is right before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You know what the sheep get? Here's the good news. Verse 33. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Next one. Then the king will say to the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom. You have no idea. We have no idea how big that is. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Now, that's the good news. You know what the bad news is? Do you know what the goats get in this scene? Verse 41. And then the king will turn to those at his left, and he'll say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. And the incredible thing about all this today, you know what it is? All of this information is available to everyone on the planet. You know. God is holding the Gentile door open, the church age door open for a little while longer. How much longer? I don't know. I don't think it's much longer. He's waiting for the other sheep to get into safety. These sheep aren't so dumb after all. They've been listening. Jesus says today, I have other sheep. They're not from this sheepfold. And I must bring them in also. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. Listen carefully to this. We have five elders here at this church. And they are the shepherds of this flock. They're called by God to shepherd this church called Nineveh. And our responsibility under God is to tell you the truth. Our responsibility under God is to take the word of God and communicate it to the sheep so that the sheep know the truth about what's coming. There's a separation coming. Some people don't like the truth and they come and they leave. Some people like the truth and they come and they stay. But we have to tell you. We bear a responsibility. The entire chapter of Ezekiel 34 is a rebuke against the shepherds because they didn't warn the sheep. So I'm warning you. I'm warning you with all the love in my heart. This is real. Heaven and hell are real. Sheep and goats are real. It's real. I think September is going to be an interesting prophetic month. Every year I mark on my calendar the Feast of Trumpets. It's September 23rd, in case you're wondering. I'm not saying Jesus is coming on September 23rd. Don't go out here and tell somebody I said that. I'm not saying he's not coming today. Maybe today. Are you ready? Because when that day comes, he's going to set you're in or out. You've listened to his voice or you've rejected his voice. You've listened to the word or you've rejected the word. So we're going to sing a song. And one more question. This didn't hit me until late. Do the goats know they're goats? And do the sheep know they're sheep? I've got an answer to that, best I can. I think the sheep know their sheep. My sheep will hear my voice and they'll know me. I believe the sheep know their sheep. I don't think the goats know their goats, because if you knew you were a goat, you'd become a sheep. If you knew you were a goat, you'd become a sheep. So God must remove the veil so that you can see that without him as your shepherd, you will surely die. A horrible eternal separation from God, death. So we're going to sing an invitation. And I don't know what a message like this does to you. I have no idea. That's between you and God. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to confess, repent of your sin. Maybe you need to come to faith in Christ. Maybe you need to be baptized. I don't know. That's between you and him. But the opportunity for that, your response, is now. Let's stand.